Yeah, for me, I like to start with when we talk about how to gather, I always start with stories because stories tell me so much. So I can go to someone and say, are you doing your prayer calendar? And they might say, yes, I'm doing my prayer calendar. But it doesn't tell me anything about it other than, yes, they are doing it, maybe even just sometimes. But when you change the question, you say, hey, tell me the story of something that's happened while you were doing your prayer calendar, a way that God used you or used someone else that you've been coaching. And now I get to sit back and listen.
Welcome to the CDM Podcast, a production of Contagious Disciple Making. We exist to catalyze movement through coaching, community, and communication. We created this podcast to help everyday Christians become world-changing disciple makers.
Hi, welcome to the CDM Podcast. I'm Paul Watson, and this is Rebecca. We are your hosts for this episode.
This is actually a very surprisingly important topic as people are progressing in disciple making. You know, I'm a life coach, and it's a part of that is trying to get people to track things in their own lives to be able to make progress in the different things that they want to. So this is the same process, the same talents, the same skill, that any leader or anybody who's trying to manage multiple things need to do.
And so this is just how do you get your head around what is going on so that you can stay on top of it. I've been recently reading a book called Extreme Ownership by a Navy SEAL named Jocko. I can't remember his last name right off the top of my head. But you can Amazon it and be able to find it right away. And in that, he talks about what it looks like to manage the different elements when you're on a battlefield. So he talks about how it's important for him to be in the Tactical Operations Center, otherwise known as TOC, where he can be coordinating with all the people on the ground and getting the air information of what is going on. And his job is to keep the big picture of what is happening in the field in his head so that he can coordinate, because it's very easy for someone to get turned around, to be doing the wrong thing, even though they're highly trained, incredible men and women. That's very easy in the fog of war to lose track of what's going on. And so he needs to be able to get information very quickly, help people understand the big picture and move forward.
And not just the big picture, but the clear picture about what's going on.
Yeah.
So being able to have that higher look to see, okay, wait, this is all the elements that are going on. How do they interact with each other?
That's right. And for those of you who may not like military examples, the other way to look at it would be using a football example, that you've got the coach, the head coach or the defensive coordinator or whatever, standing on the outside of the game, watching what is happening and then calling plays. And the reason that they're often the ones calling the plays is because they're looking at the whole game. They're looking at the whole field, and they may see things that an individual player right there on ground level might miss. And so it's really important as a disciple maker, as we begin to make disciples and see them multiply and see even the beginnings of disciple making movement emerge, that we are creating those processes to be able to see the big picture so that we can also identify the holes and encourage growth in places that there might be holes.
So imagine that you as a disciple maker have two disciple making communities and three prayer gatherings. And, you know, maybe you're personally discipling four people. And then also you have your personal DBSs and people you're engaging and the people that your disciples are engaging. You can see where this gets really messy. Now, some of you are listening, you're like, oh my goodness, I would never be in that level. Actually, yes, you can be fact, it's intended for you to eventually be in that level. You know, the Bible tells us to do this generational passing down process and to be growing always. Mm-hmm. And so it may seem scary to you right now to think about having that many things going on, but that's a good thing. And God always grows us in this process.
Well, just to give you an example, even across our network here in the United States, Canada, and a couple of other countries, is we've got 25 people that we are currently coaching to make disciples. In that, we have multiple disciple-making communities. And so we have mobilized 48 people through those disciple-making communities to be involved in having casual, meaningful, and spiritual conversations and issuing invitations to Discovery Bible Studies. We currently have, I think, 5 Discovery Bible Studies going. Yeah. We currently have 4 invitations that are active that people are inviting into Discovery groups or Discovery Bible Studies. We've got 10 Discovery groups. And if you look at prayer calendars alone...
Discovery groups, by the way, people mean that there's multiple people in each of these situations.
That's right. And if you look at prayer calendars alone, we have over 780 people mobilized to be praying every day through the prayer calendar of those that that are led by our coach, that are the people we're coaching. So it's incredible the amount of people that are working, and it'd be very easy to lose track of it. But you know what? Because we're able to get these things as part of our rhythms, we know what's going on and we know how to be able to help them. And that's what we want to help you do as well.
Absolutely. And so as we get into this, we say that why do we need this to track information? So what we're going to be describing to you is that actually, so, you know, Paul and I were coaching. We're coaching these particular people who are growing in disciple making. We realized that there was a need to develop a tool and a method of helping people keep track of all the details of what's going on in everything that they're doing when it comes to disciple making. And so we're going to tell you what information you need to be tracking and how to do it. But before that, we want to talk to you why tracking this information is so important. In other words, what do you do with this information? We're not just creating busy work or asking to someone to say, you know, what was the color of this guy's shirt or whatever. There's specific reasons that we're trying to track this certain information. And that's why, for instance, one of the big things we talk about in contagious disciple making is that you need to mobilize prayer so that no movement of God has been started without concerted prayer. And every step has to be taken with prayer, because it's ultimately a God thing. It's a God movement. He's the one that is doing the work. So we need to be praying to him as we're doing that. Well, the thing is that how can we mobilize prayer for things happening in disciple making if we don't know what they are? So I'm discipling in disciple making, and they're doing a DBS, and I don't know anything what's going on with their DBS, or know very vaguely what's going on in their DBS, then how can I turn around and tell other people how to pray for this DBS? How can I do that? Well, if I don't know the details of what's going on.
A very solid example of that is our friend Jack. Jack is leading Discovery Bible Studies and Discovery groups in a prison in Texas. And he is working, they have multiple groups going. Well, every once in a while, Jack faces some very real walls that are spiritual in nature, and he'll be able to text and say, hey, this Thursday, we have planned to have X number of discovery groups going. We want you to pray that nothing gets in the way of those prisoners being able to come together and being able to have those discovery groups. And so he can text that really quick to me. I know what's going on, and we can disseminate that information across the people that we have on our Facebook group to mobilize to pray. And so it's gathering that information. It's not about me knowing necessarily that Jack has X number of Discovery Bible Studies going on. I'm not interested in ticking the box on that. It's really about, oh my goodness, there are 3 Discovery Bible Studies or Discovery groups about to start. And if we don't mobilize prayer, there's a chance that they won't be able to meet. And so that's why it becomes important.
And sometimes, you know, it's just also a means of reminding yourself. So maybe you're doing the DBS, and it's a means of keeping track of yourself, what's going on, so later on you can mobilize prayer. So that's one. How can other people pray for you and pray for other people that you are discipling and stuff if they don't know? Mm-hmm. And how can they know if you don't even have a clear picture about what's going on?
Exactly.
The next thing is identifying the issues. Mm-hmm. So again, if going back to the illustration of a tactical person looking on the overall, and also usually those are the people that maybe also have a lot of knowledge when it comes to actually doing this. How can you fully coach somebody into to be able to see possible issues if they don't tell you the information? So if you're discipling people, you want them to tell you the information about what's going on so that you can help them see ahead and say, oh, no, don't go that direction.
Right.
Or, oh, hey, that is a tough spot. Let me help you know how to get out of that.
Yeah, we do that a lot where we go, okay, you know that where that is heading could be a potential dead end. And so here is how to avoid that dead end. Or this is an adjustment you can make to make sure that that group actually multiplies instead of staying in a single generation section. And we wouldn't know that if we weren't asking for that information and seeing what is there. And then from our experience, as well as the experience of those we have been coaching for a long time, able to come in and to offer suggestions on how to overcome an issue. And that leads to the next one is not just identifying issues, but seeing holes. There have been times we've come into places and we've been able to see massive holes in what they're doing, and they get so frustrated because they're not getting the movement, and we've been able to fill in those gaps and be able to bridge and make and keep those holes from becoming too much of an issue.
Well, this is what we do in coaching. Even just our individual disciple makers, maybe they haven't even done too many multiplying yet. You know, we help them be able to look forward and say, okay, what is the next best step? What are the possible issues? What are the holes? And so now we're turning around and saying, hey, you're soon going to have to do this yourself. You're going to have to be asking other people to tell you the information so you can do the same things for them. And so this whole problem solving, knowing how to be able to take the next steps, you can't know how to make the next step if you don't even know where you've been.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you don't have a clear picture about what's going on in your prayer gatherings, what's going on in your DMCs, what's going on in the DBSs of your disciple makers, then you're not sitting down with a clear picture of knowing what is the correct best next step to make. Which kind of, we've been kind of already, you know, coming about to this, but basically this is, again, a means of for you to be able how to disciple your disciple makers.
Mm-hmm.
So help them to be able to have consistency and accountability and problem solving, you know, how to be able to pray with them about it. So you do learning this process is even with yourself, with maybe someone who's coaching you, will help you to be able to do that when you're starting to do that with other people. You're teaching them through this process. So literally the gathering of the information, tell me about what happened, tell me about this, is the opportunity for you to do all these things, for you to create that consistency and help them understand and learn and help them to be able to pray for it and help them to be able to know next steps. Like that in and of itself gives that opportunity.
Exactly. And I think that another piece that's really important is that the way that you gather right. that information is going to affect how the people you're working with end up gathering information and what to do with it. If you do it from a, oh, you're not doing the right thing, and it's kind of this, you know, you got to do what I tell you approach, then it's going to be that's how the information will be gathered the whole way. The way that I prefer to do it, the way that Rebecca prefers to do it, is it's much more of a, my job is to help you do what God's called you to do, which is to live out the Great Commission and Great Commandment in your life, no matter how busy you are and what you're doing throughout your day. And so we're gathering the stories so that we can help you move forward. If you have the same attitude as you're working with people you're discipling, you're going to be a lot less frustrated and a lot more effective.
Ultimately, also, getting the stories of what's going on will allow you to be able to, like we said, not only mobilize prayer, but also celebrate what's going mm-hmm. on. You know, people, if people are seeing the next thing, discovery, like another aha moment inside of a discovery Bible study, if we're not keeping track of those, then how can we tell other people what's going on and say, look, There's right. good kingdom stuff happening. You know, people are coming to know God. They're being brought to, along this process, this journey. You know, oh, hey, you know, we had an answer to prayer. That's great. Again, if we don't track those, how can we trumpet them out and celebrate them unless we know that?
Right.
So just a simple process of gathering the information and keeping track of it will empower us to do all the things that we have to do in disciple making better, because mm-hmm. now we see clearly what to be able to do with this. So, you know, we've been talking about why you need to track the information, mm-hmm. which that will become even more important as time goes on. So exactly. How do you gather it? And you might say, like, what do you mean by that? In other words, how do you get this information from people? How do you go about the process of figuring out how to get the information?
Yeah, for me, I like to start with, when we talk about how to gather, I always start with stories. Because stories tell me so much. So I can go to someone and say, are you doing your prayer calendar? And they might say, yes, I'm doing my prayer calendar. But it doesn't right. tell me anything about it other than, yes, they are doing it, maybe even just sometimes. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you just don't know. And so it's like asking somebody, are you having your quiet time? Well, yes, I may have had it for 30 seconds this morning on my way out the door, but you know, I had one and you just have no idea there. Or are you spending time with God? They might say yes. But when you change the question, you say, hey, tell me the story of something that's happened while you were doing your prayer calendar, a way that God used you or used someone else that you've been coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get to sit back and listen. And it's so cool when the prayer calendar is actually being done, they get real excited and they start telling you this story and I'm listening to it and I'm getting to soak it in. And on the inside, a lot of times I just start worshiping Jesus for the things that he's doing. And then I get to come right back and affirm them and say, hey, do you realize that God just worked through you? Do you realize you saw his Holy Spirit evident in that relationship there? How cool is that? Isn't our God good? Now, what I've done in the process is now I've been able to celebrate and affirm, but now I know, hey, they're really doing their prayer calendar. It's really making a difference. And I can hear the excitement and the joy in their life over what God is doing. And I have gathered a lot of information in that moment, but it wasn't me filling out a form or ticking boxes. It was literally saying, hey, tell me the story of, or hey, I heard that you were having a Discovery Bible study coming up. You know, or that you just had a Discovery Bible study. Tell me how it went and what kind of things went on. Tell me about the people who were there. And all I'm doing is listening.
I think what Paul is already is saying here to indicate how things maybe we've kind of seen done in the past versus what we is special about actual discipleship is that we're putting it within relational terms.
Mm-hmm.
We're not simply just wanting people to fill out a form and send it in or to write a report and to send it in. It's important for you as a disciple maker, if you have any people that you're trying to mobilize in a more concerted way, so someone you're discipling more closely, and they're starting to do the disciple make, they're starting to do, you know, the DBSs and DMCs themselves, is you want to make it relational. You need to meet with them at least once every 2 weeks, if not every week.
Yeah.
You need to, well, and when I say meet, you may not necessarily have to actually be in person, but you need to be calling them on the phone and having a conversation. Well, because otherwise, it does not allow you to use this information gathering process as all those things that we said before, as a means of growing the person, as a means of training, and a means of developing that discipleship.
Well, just to bring it closer to home, you know, between Rebecca and myself, we have 25 people throughout the U.S. and Canada and someplace around the world that we are connecting with and coaching. And we do that through two 30-minute coaching calls every month, roughly spaced out about a week in between. You know, there's every other week. And so two weeks, I guess, is the better way to say that. Sorry. And so twice a month. There we go.
Twice a month.
There we go. And so they're roughly spaced out that way. And it's interesting. They're only 30-minute calls. But we're able to, because we ask about stories, we spend the first little bit, tell me how they're doing, loving on the people. And then we spend the next, 10 minutes, tell me what is going on in the things that you're excited about, the things that are coming to the surface of your mind. And then we spend that last 10 minutes just diving into, okay, here's something that you might want to think about as you're moving forward. We give teaching and some next steps. And that's a process that we use with almost every single coaching call, with some differences depending on what is coming up. But that's the process we use. We gather those stories. We're thinking about it. We're loving on the people. And Rebecca and I are being able to work with 25 men and women who are incredibly busy all over the world from incredibly different backgrounds. And if we can do that, so can you.
Yeah, so when you're doing this with people, like I said, if you do it through just sending in forms, it's really going to cut off that ability to turn these information gathering things into actual disciple making. And also, you have to keep on following up with people that you are mobilizing, or else how are they going to learn? How are they going to be able to know the right steps moving forward? So if you are not currently regularly talking to each individual disciple that you're trying to really mobilize, then they're not getting what they need in order to be able to understand how to move forward. Now, the thing is that like Paul said, as you're doing this, you're asking for stories. Now, if you ask for the same things every week, and we'll talk about what exactly you're going to be asking for a little bit later on the podcast, but if you ask for the same things each week, and then additionally maybe any something else you're trying to get them to grow in, then they're going to start having the expectation of, oh, they're going to ask me about the aha moments, in my Discovery Bible Studies, which, by the way, in case you wonder what aha moments are, moments in which people are seeing something about God or, some truth that they're discovering. So, if they realize that every time they talk to you, you're going to ask them, what were the aha moments? They're going to be like, okay, I need to be looking for the aha moments. I need to be paying attention when there is an aha moment so that I can tell my coach or my disciple maker, what those moments are. And so when you consistently do that and you consistently bring it up, it teaches them to be paying attention and to be consistent in those things without having to sit there and give them a list and to have them check off the boxes.
Oh yeah. And it's really fun too. Like, I'll throw out an example. Rebecca was meeting with someone someone who's not following Christ, and that she was wanting to disciple into a relationship with Jesus just recently. And they were having their first conversation and everything. They hadn't gotten into a Discovery Bible study yet. And Rebecca was telling me about the situation where she's like, I'm praying that the Lord would give me a story to be able to share and that it would meaningfully connect and those kind of things. And so she told me about that and how well it was received and the enthusiasm. And then she told me about a phone call that happened a couple of days later from this same woman where she's like, and I want to involve this friend in this and this friend in this and this friend in this. And so it was very easy for me to come back to Rebecca and say, Rebecca, do you realize that you're seeing this characteristic and this characteristic and this characteristic, and we hear these kind of phrases from people who are like this, you might actually have a person of peace that you're going to be working with. And all of a sudden it put into context the need for prayer around this person. It put into context a lot of different things. And Rebecca, you were able to go in and to have a different perspective even on how to deal and work with this young lady as you were helping disciple them too. But that came from just sharing the stories. You were sharing a story to me, and because of the experience that I have working overseas, I was able to put that into context, which then influenced a little bit of how you mobilized prayer and talked to other people about what was going on.
Right. So again, we're about ready to talk about exactly what to ask about each time. But when you do, you ask things like, talk to me about.
Yeah.
Unpack that for me. And so you're asking very open-ended questions or statements that will draw these stories and the situations out of them. Instead of just saying, tell me this result, give me this number, Not just that, but it's also giving them the ability to tell you the situation. So in a way, it's kind of like you being there when you're not really there. That's the point.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I've gotten to a point where I can create a virtual image of a Discovery Bible study or a meeting with a disciple maker in my head just based on the questions I'm asking and the stories that are coming back to me. It can be at times like I was there in the room knowing what has happened, or at least as close to it as I could possibly get without actually being in the room.
Right. And so we're about ready to tell you about what to document. So therefore, the last point of this how to gather is when you get this information, you need to write it down.
Yes. You will forget.
You either need to write it down or type it down. So Paul and I, we made a document, an Excel spreadsheet where people can, you know, type in and be able to do that. But whatever format that really helps you, you need to get it down, all the information down out of your head and onto a piece of paper or an electronic file.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be able to keep everything straight in your head.
Right. And when you go back and you review your notes later, sometimes patterns will emerge and right. you'll be able to go, oh, okay, here's a hole that seems to be happening every time. Or here's a pattern that's emerging that we might either need to encourage or fix. And you'd get that only when you're looking at the scope of everything. So we had a disciple-making community in Redmond, Oregon, and I was able to have my documentation of the conversation quadrants for 3 months. And I was able to put them side by side in front of the group and say, what can you tell me from this? And they looked at it and they said, well, look how this person moved from casual to meaningful to spiritual conversations over the course of 3 months. And I was able to say, do you remember how we specifically asked God to do that? And all of a sudden they realized, God answered our prayers.
Yep.
I said, yes, he did. Do you see how it works? And they were like, yes. And it increased their faith. It increased their determination, and it was able to go forward. And I wouldn't have been able to see that pattern or prove that pattern if I hadn't been writing things down.
Again, there's so many positive things that come out of being able to track this. So you personally need to be doing that. Now, when it comes to the people that you're discipling, this is where we say to be careful. If you feel that they are ready to need to start tracking things down on paper, then do so. Like if they're mobilizing other people, that's a definite, that means that they need to start, you know, tracking this themselves. If they're really getting to the point to where they have a lot of scattered things, then yes, they probably need to start. But if you feel, you can sense from the disciple maker that they're at an immaturity level, that asking them to write things down on paper is going to just totally, you know, this is too much. This is too much for me. That's going to freak them out. And usually these are people that are very new, that are very, you know, they're just beginning. Then you can just do it verbally, do it orally. So again, that's okay at that beginning stage, because each time you talk to them, you're going to be asking them the same questions and they're going to be learning, oh, they're asking me these same questions each time, so I need to be paying attention to X things.
And so here's something I've noticed that started happening is that now I get people that I've been coaching for almost a year saying, hey, Paul, I wrote this down. Let me send it to you. And it's not that I ever asked them to write it down or give me a photo. It's they let me know. They sit there and say, well, I was trying to keep track of all this in my head, so I sketched some things down. I'm like, hey, could you take a photo of that and send it to me? And and so it happens very, very naturally as people. And then they use the questions that I'm asking to guide what they draw or what they write. And so it's already working its way in there. So it all comes together. I know it sounds crazy, but just trust me. In most cases, it comes together.
You do want to eventually guide people into writing. You do want to give them in the process of getting them to write down on paper, because again, you're developing leaders, and they're not going to be able to eventually strategize and do everything that we're saying again all up in their heads. And also, a lot of people are very visual. They can see something down on paper and be like, "Oh yeah, this is awesome." And so, you know, even as Paul was saying, you know, tracking the conversation quadrants and seeing it over time. So it is a useful tactic, but be careful how you begin it, especially with certain cultures, certain people groups, personalities. You want to make sure that you make things simple enough at the beginning that they're able to latch hold of it and grow, just bring it in slowly as they mature and as they get a foothold of different things.
Thanks for listening to part one of the CDM podcast. In part two, we'll talk about each element of the disciple-making process and the important information you want to keep track of. Click the link in the description to sign up for just $5 a month to hear the full-length podcast and all our previous episodes.